Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
We are starting a series this morning simply called God First. Everyone say God First. All right, it is the God First Freedom Series. How many of you could do some freedom? All right, I promise you, as we go over this month ahead of us, now here's the thing, don't just come out for the entree, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes like, well, I've already had that entree, I don't need to go and listen to any more of this. Friends, I want to tell you today that we are going to go on a journey over a month, and I'm believing for you and I'm believing for me that freedom is going to be on the other side of the month. It's going to begin today, but it's not going to end today. It's going to start today, but it won't be completed today. It is the beginning, and everybody said... Amen. So here we are. Welcome to the very first of our God First Freedom Series. Freedom. As we begin our God First Freedom Series today, I have no doubt that heaven is rejoicing and the devil is getting nervous. He doesn't need you to be free. The devil does not want you to be free. So heaven is rejoicing. The devil is getting nervous. Some of you are expectant. How many of you are expectant? Praise God, four of you. I'm not asking if you're expecting a baby this morning. I'm asking you, are you expecting to get something out of the Word of God today? All right. So if you're expecting, I'm going to say to you also, you're going to be challenged. Hallelujah. You will be challenged. God's Word is truth, while the spirit of this world will do everything it can to keep us in a place of bondage. A place where you think you're free, while in reality you're still a slave. A place where you think you're choosing, while most of us aren't really choosing anything at all. A place where you're searching for joy, but most of us are suffocating under a spirit of heaviness. So now as we look at scripture, we can see that Joseph found himself in a pit. Joseph found himself in a prison. But how many of you know that was never the intention of God that Joseph stay in that place? It was always the intention of God. God always had a plan. God always had a purpose. And while he may have found himself in a pit or in a prison, it was always God's intention that he would take him to a higher place. Everyone say higher place. God wanted to take Joseph to a higher place that he might actually have authority over that which had previously had authority over him. All right. So let me say to all of the enjoyers, all right, I just want to speak to all of us, everyone here, everyone everywhere. Let me say this to each and every one of you. The greatest challenge that you're going to have throughout this freedom series will be to give God's word authority over your life. All right. I think this is the greatest issue humanity has ever had. How many of you know God's word is the Lord? The word made flesh is Jesus, amen? The greatest challenge you will have and I will have is to give God's word authority over your lives and to yield your thinking and your actions to the sovereignty of God. How many of you believe God is sovereign? Give me a wave if you believe God is sovereign. All right, we'll get there. We'll come back to that. I'm a believer. I'm a believer that God is sovereign. God is supreme. God is umero numero number one-o. You know what I'm saying? As in, Georgie's a close number two, but God's in first place. All right. And so God is sovereign. Most of us here today would say that we're Christ-centered and our lives are completely yielded to him. How many of you would agree that that would be the consensus? Yes, we are Christ-centered and we are yielded to him. I would have said that myself until just recently when God began to challenge me. All right, now here's the thing. As I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself again. I've been on a journey. How many of you are on a journey? I've been on a journey. I hate it when God turns up and just rains on my parade a little. You know what I'm saying? I think I got my stuff together. I think I'm starting to get things worked out. And then God turns up with this sort of like mirror, and all of a sudden you can see the imperfections. I'm not talking about when you get out of the shower and you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning. No, no, no. That's a different imperfection. But I'm talking about our walk with Christ imperfection. We think we've grown so much. We think we've come so far. But then in an instant, God can begin to reveal things. I've recently read a book called God, Money, and Me, written by Pastor Paul Young. And to be honest, it challenged me to my very core, for I realized in an instant I wasn't as free as I thought I was. In an instant, I realized that although I would have believed, absolutely would have believed, wholeheartedly, that my trust was in the Lord and my life was subject to his sovereignty, I became very aware that for... In different areas of my life, the spirit of mammon had been doing a number on me to some degree or other. All right. I've told you recently, so what I'm about to share is not news because I shared it recently. I told you recently that how my soul had been weighed down and I'd lost my joy. And it was partially because I sold a muscle car. Oh. Now you might say, you sold a muscle car, you lost your joy. No. The point was this. It was a classic muscle car. And in the last 4 years, it has doubled in price. But what I'm saying is the extra bit would have been a deposit for my children's houses. That's how much it went up. It was an investment. And I sold it short of it getting to where it should have gone to. Now, the reality was, it doesn't actually matter how it got there, but I got to tell you, when I began to think about the dumbest decision that I have made in recent years in regards to our belongings, I got to tell you, it started to eat me up. How many of you have ever made a decision, and as a result of that decision, it began to eat you up? I sold this car, and it wasn't about the love of the car, but what it was about provision for my children and my children's children. And as I began to ponder it, it really did get into the inside of me. It began to weigh me down. It began to burden me. It tormented me both emotionally and physically. Let me ask you this, church, if I can just ask you a question. I want to ask all of you a question today. How many of you you're doing life? How many of you are doing life? Got a life? Need to get a life? All right. Well, here we are. We're doing life, and the kids come in, and out of nowhere, we've got our budget all set up, and our kids come in, and they out of nowhere, they say, hey, I need this money for da-da-da-da-da-da. And on the inside, someone goes, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about when it may be a scenario like I got home from America, and what are they talking on the news at the moment? They're talking about a national recession. Recession. You're doing life. You got your thing sorted out. And then all of a sudden on TV, they're talking about a national recession. And on the inside, something begins to squirm. Something begins to tighten up. How many of you know what it's like when you're going through life and out of nowhere, this bill comes in for thousands of dollars and you thought, where did that... And on the inside, anybody know what I'm talking about? You all know what I'm talking about. It's like, now you would say that is life. And I would say to some degree it is life. The unexpected things will happen. But how many of you know God is supreme? How many of you believe God is supreme? All right. If I believe that God is supreme, and I do believe that God is supreme, if God is God and God is sovereign, why can we become downcast so quickly at these events happening in our life? At the end of last year, George's mother wasn't well, and there was talk of helping them to move into a house. The reason we would help them to move out of a unit into the house is for her well-being. How many of you know in-laws are from heaven? Praise God. Give God praise for in-laws, right? Some of you are sitting with them in church. You should really clap really loud. All right. So here's the thing. Out of nowhere, George's mum isn't well, and there's talk of maybe needing to move her into a house, out of a unit into a house, and for her emotional well-being. And I get that, physical well-being, I get that. And I'm all for it until we did the math. All right, I'm all for it until we started working out the figures and I realized how much extra it was going to cost. Suddenly, Georgie's parents' well-being wasn't the highest thing on my priority list. Now, I know the Bible says to honor your parents, and I want to honor Georgie's parents. I do, really, I do. But now I've got this knot in my stomach. Like, can't they sell a kidney or two? You know what I'm saying? And just finance it that way? Now, I think it's illegal, so they probably can't. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, how do we get around this? Because now I'm a godly man. I am a godly man. I'm a caring man. I'm a pastoral man. And I care for Georgie's parents. But in reality, if I'm going to be honest, it wasn't the highest thing on my... on the inside. Where did that come from? Why has that come? So I say, God is God. God is supreme. God is sovereign. But I must admit that along the way, I've been really challenged in this regard. I've realized that while on one hand, I am free. How many of you know we are free in Jesus' name? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have received his gospel, if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, then we are free from the power of sin and death. That's where it's at. But I can't deny that God made it plain to me that I needed to go deeper, that his freedom for my life might be made complete in me. I actually think if we can overcome the financial issue, we can overcome anything. When you are free in regard to this financial thing, you will be free indeed. We can talk about being free. I talk about being free. You've heard me talk about being free. So why, when we're talking about the money to move into that house, am I going on the inside? Why was the enemy able to torment me over a car that I sold? And when I sold it, I got a good price for it. But here I am years later, laying there in night, squirming over something that I did back then, which in the end may have cost me. Why is it so? If I'm free, I'm free. Friends, I would tend to think that maybe I wasn't as free as I thought I was. I've realized that while on one hand I was free, I wasn't as free as I really thought I was. So the first thing, we must decide if we're to truly become free. We've got to decide, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? Now, I know that many of us in this room would say, well, that do we really need to answer that question? Because that's why we're here. No. I know that we understand, yes, he is Lord. But what I want to ask you today is Jesus Lord? Now, I know what you're saying. No. Look at me. What I want to know is, do we really believe he is Lord? He is supreme. He is all sufficient. He is sovereign. Do we really believe that he is that way? Not just in words. But do we really believe he is Lord and he is sovereign? Is my life subject to the world, to the philosophies, the trends, the teachings and possibilities and limitations of this world? Or is my life completely subject to the lordship and sovereignty of Christ? Now, we can say that, as I always have, we can say whatever we want. But friends, I want to say to you today, at the end of the day, we have to work out the money deal. Because if we don't, money will deal with you. If you don't work out the money deal, it will work with you. You know what I'm saying? If you don't get over it, it has got it over you. We have to work this thing out because it impacts so much of our life. Church, if we're going to live in all the freedom that God has got for us, now whether you be in this location or any other location, if we're going to live in all the freedom that Christ has for us, we'll need to determine in our own lives whether God really is God or not, and whether we can trust his word or not. I don't actually think this is a love issue. I think it is a trust and a faith issue. That's why we are now in Christ. We belong to God and we are saved. We are free for eternal life. But how many of you know God wants you to be free in this world and in the one to come? Not just when you die. He doesn't want you to have to be carrying around this weight and this burden all of your life here on planet Earth that you might die. And then he says, well, isn't it good to get that off your back? No. The reason he put the cross on his back and carried it to the place where he would die is so that you might have life and have it to the full, that you might be free and free indeed, that you would not be laying in bed in the middle of the night with your stomach in knots because you can't work out how to do it. Praise God. If you can't work out how to do it, you're in a good place. Because now you can come into the presence of God and just say, God, I don't have the answers, but I thank God I know who does. God, I don't have the provision, but I know who does have it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 8, it says, and God is able, everyone say God is able. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God, this God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, so that you will have, so you will abound in every good work and have enough for every good work, is the same God who made the heavens and the earth. Think about this. All right. God is passing out grace upon you. Jesus came. When you receive Jesus, you receive grace now. Grace now. Grace, grace, grace. How many of you could do some more grace? All right, God is able to make all grace abound to you. He wants his grace to come. Now, this God who is able to make all grace abound to you, he's the same God who created the heavens and the earth. He put it all into place. He set it all into place. He put it out there. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he created humanity in the form of male and female, and then he blessed them. Bless them. The same God who is able to make all grace abound to you began by creating humanity and blessing them. In Genesis 1 verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image. How many of you know you were created in the image of God? All right, you're created in the image of God. You should look in the mirror every morning and smile. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been created now in the image of God. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Everyone say blessed. Yes. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the ground. So God, our God, is a God who created us and blessed us to be fruitful and multiply. You have been created, you've been blessed. Blessed! You've been blessed. You've been created by God and blessed by God to be fruitful and to multiply. He is now in that blessing that he has already spoken on you, willing and wanting to make all grace abound to us so that in all things at all times we might have all that we need for every good work. Not just to meet our own needs, not just to meet the family budget. No, no, that we might have enough for all of that and for every good work that is in him. Yet so many of us, while claiming to be free, remain subject and servants to money and the spirit of mammon rather than becoming free through a revelation of the sovereignty and the lordship of Christ. Enjoy, think about it this way. Just think about it this way. Because I know who I'm speaking to. I love the fact that I can stand here before you and I know who I'm speaking to. I know you love the Lord, but I know we all have challenges in this regard. And I know that it's like, yes, we believe for freedom, but I know many of us have been where I've been at, where on one hand I'm proclaiming freedom, but on the other hand I have a knot in my stomach. How many of you know the knot in the stomach and the freedom of Christ aren't meant to go together? Jesus doesn't say, and you shall have freedom and a knot, praise God. I'm going to tie you to that sucker for the rest of your life. No, no, no. Jesus came to set us free. Amen? Free. So we're going to go after this and say, well, if we're called to be free in Christ, then what's going on here? What's the gist? What's the go? What's happening here? I've got to work this thing out. So I want to ask you a question. All the enjoyers in all the enjoy world, I want to ask you, think about it this way. If we know how God wants us to handle our finances, why don't we? Why don't we? Now, I know there's challenges. I get that. Why don't we? I'm reminded of a man in the book. I read this story about a man who is, I'll just make the numbers up, but you'll get the principle. He was earning something like $500 a week. And he went to his pastor, and his pastor taught him the principle of tithing. And then years later, he went back to his same pastor, and he said, I can't afford to tithe anymore. And the pastor was like, you can't afford to tithe anymore? And he goes, would you pray for me? And he said, yeah, I'll pray for you. He goes, so what's happened with your finances? Have you been tithing? And he goes, yes, I was, but now I earn $50,000 a week. $50,000 a week. And the pastor says, so you can't tithe anymore. He goes, no, do you know how much that is? I can't afford to tithe anymore. So the pastor says, good, I'll pray for you. And he prays this, Lord, I pray, curse his business that he might go back to where he began because then he'll be able to tithe and honor you. Praise God. Now, I know we all have challenges. I get that. But how many of you know, this is where, what do we really believe comes into place? Do we believe that God is sovereign? Do we believe that God is able? Do we believe that God is true to his word? So if we believe, if we know what God wants us to do, then simply, why don't we? Now, just so you know, I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I'm flat out working out what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? All I'm going to do is present the word, then you're going to do with it whatever you choose to do. If we know he wants us to tithe, why don't we? If we know how he wants us to use our finances, why don't we? As I've said, love is not the issue here. It's an issue of trust. How many of you know it's like one in the hand is worth two in the offering basket or something? I don't know. It's like one in the hand, it's like if I've got it, I've got it. But how many of you know God wants us to take us to a place where we don't, and I'm not going to, you'll hear over the next weeks, I don't want you sowing everything. I don't want you to give it, don't give it all away. Don't give it all, don't do that. Don't do that. But we need to go on a journey where we understand the principles of the kingdom of God and apply them in our life in the knowledge that he is sovereign. He is sovereign. And everybody said, if we believe that we are blessed to be a blessing, then when the moment to bless comes, why do we withhold? Now, I know why we do. It's not love. It's an issue of trust. But Lord, if I give this, then I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work. If we know God wants us to engage in every good work as he calls us to, then why don't we? I think the story of Elijah and the widow is so telling. There was a drought in the land, so God sent Elijah to a distant town. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. How you doing, church? Are we all good? All right. 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 9 says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow. It's interesting that the Lord sends Elijah to a widow. Why didn't he send the man of God to the local business person or the local gazillionaire or the local millionaire? I think it's interesting, out of all the people that would have been in this town, the Lord sends a man of God to a widow. And not just a widow, but a widow who's going through a pretty hard time. And he says, I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So we went to Zarephath, where he came to the town gate. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Excuse me. That was probably the eggs on toast I had this morning. Praise God for the eggs. You know what I'm saying? Got to chew the eggs. Eat slower. That's what Mum used to say. Moving right along. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I think that possibly part of the reason that she went and did what Elijah had told her to do was simply because in her thinking now, she was as good as dead. It's interesting, isn't it, how sometimes we have to get to a really low place before we say, well, I've tried to work this thing out myself. I can't. I've gone to the left. It didn't work. I've gone to the right. It didn't work. I've gone to my in-laws, my outlaws, and all the other laws. I've gone to the bank, and nothing's working. Maybe I just need to put my trust in God now. Maybe I need to put my hope in God now. Maybe I need to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, Lord, tell me what to do here. She says, I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Why do we have to get to the place where we are as good as dead before we're actually ready to take God at his word? I think if this is the case, maybe we all need to pray, Lord, kill us quickly. I'm not talking physically, of course, but spiritually. Kill us quickly, emotionally. Kill us quickly, intellectually, kill us quickly, that we might put our hope again and our trust again in you. Church, we need a revelation that God is faithful. God is faithful. I got to tell you, over the last couple of weeks, I've been away and I've just been so thankful. God is so faithful. There's a number of things that are happening behind the scenes at the moment. We've had one announcement today. We're going to have another one next week and probably another one the week after that. It is amazing what God is doing. God is faithful. When I can't work it out, God is faithful. When I've exhausted everything I know to do, God is faithful. When I've knocked on every door, driven up and down every street, asked everybody I know to ask, God is faithful. God can be trusted, and God is sovereign. God is sovereign, and His blessing and His grace and His desire that you be fruitful, multiply, and prosper remains true to this day. In Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, it says, "Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant." Who delights in the prosperity of His servant. I love the fact that the Lord delights in the prosperity of His servants. If you're a servant of Christ and you're embracing the Word of God, and He is sovereign in your world, God is delighting over you. In 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." God wants your soul to prosper. God wants your physical well-being to prosper, and He wants you to prosper in all things. So God has Himself blessed us and graced us that we might be the head and not the tail, above and not below. But for us to enjoy the freedom that God has got for each and every one of us, friends, I tell you, there's a whole lot of freedom there. But if we're going to realize this freedom and realize the prosperity that God wants to bring our way and into our lives, then we need to refute the foolishness of the world and embrace the wisdom of God and His Word holistically. Holistically. Line upon line, precept upon precept, truth upon truth. And that's why it's going to take a few weeks to roll out. You know, I think in the church for many, many years, we've all been taught the power of sowing. Sowing, sowing, sowing. But I don't know that we've actually been taught the principle of reaping. The principle of reaping. Many of you have been taught, I grew up in a church where we would hear week in, week out, sow, 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 sow. But how many of you know, once it's all sown, you've got nothing? It's like, when it's all gone, it's gone. It's like, yeah, just keep sowing. It's like, no, stop, stop. We've got to get revelation from God and understand principles. There is a time to sow, and then there's a time to reap. Some of us are so focused in sowing, sowing, and it's like, I'm not seeing my life move forward. Well, have you focused now on reaping the harvest? Because if you're faithful in your sowing, He is the Lord of the harvest and He wants to bring your harvest to you. We've got to work this out holistically. Holistically, not just one line, but let's look at it from Genesis to Revelation and see what God says. See what God says. Church, we need a revelation of His sovereignty. We need a revelation of His supremacy. For it's then and only then we'll put God first and begin to enter into the freedom that God has got for us. I say begin because it's going to take time. There's no magic pills in the kingdom of God. Not even in the western suburbs of Melbourne. No magic pills around here. Or mushrooms or anything else. We're not doing that. I mean, if you know, there's no magic wand. It's like, hey, bring your tithe out here and ding. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a matter of understanding who Christ is. Who our God is, His sovereignty, and who He wants to be in our life. He wants to be your sufficiency. He wants you to look to Him. When we begin to put God first, it's then we'll begin to step towards the freedom that He's got for us. The truth is, until we come out from under the power of money and the spirit of mammon, we'll never actually be free. You can be on your way to heaven, but not really free. And I know, because I was watching your faces when I was talking about the different scenarios, when financial realities come your way, and it's like, in here. And it's like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And we begin to stress and we begin to struggle. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. It's like, yeah, these are realities, but my God, He shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. When I seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things are going to be added. Now, I don't know how and I don't know when. I don't have all the answers, but I know the answers are in God. I'm going to trust that He is supreme. He is supreme and He is sovereign. When we put God first and embrace all the counsel of God, we'll begin to move towards the freedom that He has for us. We'll begin to worship Him again. Many of us make decisions. Well, might have sounded a bit harsh the way I was going to say that. But many of us make decisions that don't necessarily put God first. Don't necessarily put God first, but we've got these needs. We've got, I understand needs, but I also understand the one who can meet those needs is calling for your heart, calling for your love, calling for a response. And as you would follow Him, you're going to see His will come to pass in your life. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Sovereignty. Sovereignty. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. The Lord will make a way. We've seen it over and over again. You wait until you hear the story of the East Building. It's like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. I could not plan that. I could not foresee that. It's what Scripture says when it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. Out of nowhere, provision shall come. Out of nowhere, if need be, as we saw the children of Israel, out of the sky, provision will come. Out of nowhere, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. When we choose to make Him our sovereign Lord, when we die to ourselves, when we die to our old ideas and our old way of thinking, when we begin to understand that our boss is not the Lord, when we begin to understand that the extra hours at work are not going to be all the difference, but our God will be the difference. Our God will make a way. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. We come into Your presence, Lord, with joy in our hearts, thanksgiving in our hearts. We ask, we ask, we ask by the power of Your Spirit, Lord. You do a mighty work in us. Lord, do a mighty work in us that we would trust You, that we would have the faith that we need to trust You in our everyday life. Lord, we do believe. In our heads, we believe that You are sovereign, but sometimes in our hearts, Lord, we get distracted. Sometimes in our hearts, we believe You're sovereign and our heads get distracted. Lord, however it works, we pray, Lord God, Lord, that as we come to You and we bow the knee before You, we would see You as our sovereign God and we put You first. I thank You, Lord God, You have freedom for each and every one of us. And today, Lord, and every day, Lord God, we choose to step into the freedom of God. We acknowledge, Lord, Your sovereignty over our life today. You are the Lord and there is none like You. You are the one who created the heavens and the earth. You are the one who makes all grace abound to us that we might have all that we need in every situation. Oh, Father, we love You. We praise You. I pray, Almighty God, we'd have an ongoing revelation of who You are and what You want to do in our life in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. God bless You, church.